Monster, how should I feel? Creatures lie here, looking through the window. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Matt and Ty Go to the Movies. So special guest, Tim Davis. This is the podcast. This is the podcast where all three of us went and saw a movie at our local Regal Cinema Theater. And now we're going to talk about it in the parking structure, in Matt's Honda Pilot. Right next to the theater, we're going to talk about such things as, should you see this movie? Should you not see this movie? Should you hold off and wait for streaming? Do you have to see it in theaters? Should you snack during it? Should you hold off? Should you bring a date? Should you bring your kids? Should you go by yourself? We're going to talk about a lot of those things, or none of them, or some of them. You know, like, we try our best. Just give us a break. I am Todd Domer.
And I'm Matt Malloy. And yes, welcome to another episode. We saw a movie. This movie is called Lisa Frankenstein. And we're going to talk all about it and tell you various things. And the first thing we're going to tell you, and that Tim's going to tell us, is who is in this movie who we might know about.
I wouldn't say this has a lot of household names in it, but Lisa Frankenstein herself is played by Catherine Newton, who may not be known by name, but her biggest role, she was the daughter of Ant-Man in the most recent Ant-Man movie, Quantumania. Playing her, I guess you could say, evil stepmother, and this is Carla Gugino, who, again, I would argue not a household name, but she's been around for a long time and popped up in all kinds of stuff over the years, television shows, movies, very recognizable. And then on the fringes of it, Cole Sprouse plays the monster, I guess you would say. Mostly a kid actor most of his life. I think the youngins would know him from Riverdale, which was on CW for a few years.
The youngins and Tim would know him from Riverdale.
I didn't watch Riverdale, but I know he's from that, and that's probably what the appeal was here. And then I would say, actually, behind the scenes has some names. This was directed by Robin Williams' daughter, Zelda.
I'm not giving her credit for that. Come on.
It's definitely, she has something to say for it. It's her movie.
We're talking about celebrities. Who should we know?
It's a Nepo thing.
No.
It is the director of the movie. We would normally talk about the director of the movie. Anyway, that's it.
All right. Well.
I'm unhappy. I'm already starting this podcast not happy.
Todd's grumpy. Well, what is this movie about? Okay, well, we have Lisa Swallows, is I think her name in the movie.
It is.
And she is a kid in the 80s going to high school, and she is interested in things like graveyards and poetry. And then there's a lightning storm, and someone comes back to life from the graveyard, which she has frequented many of a time, and she befriends this zombie-like character, and they have some adventures together, including kind of her sewing different body parts on after he kills people to gather the body parts. And then he's more complete after each of those processes.
It's a process.
Do they find love? I won't reveal that, but that's all I'm going to say about the plot of the movie, because I think that covers the finer points.
That's the movie.
That's the pitch in the marketing or in the director's room.
Yes. It's what we did with it and how we feel about it. Todd, how do you feel about Lisa Frankenstein?
Well, I knew nothing about this movie going into it. Not a trailer, not what it was about or whatever. And so the first, 20 to 25 minutes of this movie, maybe 30 minutes, really captivated me, because I was like, oh, this is a weird one. We're off to the races. Mm-hmm. And then about after that 30 minutes to 35 minutes, I just kept being like, this is not topping itself. Like, it kind of peaked, and then it just was a slow linger down for the rest of the movie for me. And it for me, it wasn't the performances. It wasn't anything like that. It was like just the story. Like, you're just kind of lost in this weird story. Not enough is happening to make you like think, okay, where are we going from here? I don't really understand. It just went to me, this is one of those movies, and if I could guess what old Zelda Williams was thinking, I think this is just an homage to a lot of the movies that she liked maybe growing up or something like that, because there's definitely like ties to several other movies. Like, I think I'm going to land on the fact that this is like Encino Man and the Heathers had a baby mm-hmm. is this movie. And you throw in the name Frankenstein. Like, so, but, and that captivated me at the beginning of the movie. But it just has no, it's not a good follow through. It's almost like random things loosely tied together, trying to tell a story, but I really didn't feel like it did. You're introduced to some characters, and then you never find out why they're so weird or why they're like the dad character who's all up in this movie, like, is a horrible dad and horrible, like, but you don't ever like know why he's a
archetype. Like, there's no depth. Yeah, like, no depth to him.
Exactly. Yeah. I think she just went for, okay, here's a stereotypical 80s dad or something like that. Right. Like, but it just, I don't know. I guess I got so disappointed in it because I thought it had such a, like, a weird, strong start to me. I was like, this is interesting. This is out there. I can get behind this. But there was just no follow through. I mean, by the end of the movie, I was just like, I would like this to be over because I'd like to exit at this point. Like I wasn't mad. No. When the movie ended, but I was like, wasted potential. Like, yes. Strong start, yes. Got me hooked, but I just was like, no follow through. Things just got weirder and weirder with less explanation and less, you know, story, really. It's a story that's missing, like, I think. There's a loose story in the movie, and then that's it. It's just all these circumstances over this loose story, and that was a letdown. Which is crazy, considering I knew nothing about this movie. Like, you built me up in the beginning of your movie, and then you let me down with the rest of it. So, I don't know. I'm not going to recommend seeing this in theaters. Like, I think if you're a Tim Burton fan, or if you're, like, into just weird movies, and, you know, maybe this is up your alley. But there's nothing about this movie that makes me go, you need to see it in theaters. Like, it's not like the visuals aren't going to hold up or anything like that. It just was. Like, I'm not mad I saw it. I'm like, I'm let down. And I can't in good conscience say, hey, other people, go see this movie. But, and it's not a bad movie per se. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I'm still formulating my thought here. It's hard because I got built up a lot in the beginning, like I said. And then I was just really let down through the rest of the movie. But I think the performances were pretty good in this movie. I didn't think anyone was too awful. They just were playing weird characters. And so I feel like most people really dove into their weird character. And then at some points it felt like people were just trying to out-weird the other person. Like, so I don't know. It was a mess. On a technical side, I thought there were a lot of bad camera angles and shots and stuff like that. And I, you know, based off of, I don't know if she's directed any other movies.
Not that I'm aware.
But to get a movie like this, it seems like, and I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. If you're mad at me, Zelda, then I don't know. I owe you $5. But seems like just by namesake, this person got a movie to direct. And I'm not about that. A famous line that I say all the time is that a person born on third who thinks they hit a triple in life. You just lucked out with a name. And now you're getting this stuff, like a whole movie to direct that's just wasn't good, in my opinion. So you get the harsh reality of what I think there, Zelda. Because that's what we do here. Yes, our gut reactions.
This is her first feature length
movie. Oh, not a strong start to a career. Tim?
I think you touched on it with unrealized potential. I was with you, too. I'd only heard, you know, the name of it, and kind of from that figured, oh, it's kind of an updated, like, retelling of a Frankenstein motif kind of movie. And it started that way. And I'm like, okay, she's a weird outcast, you know, in the 80s, and she's gonna fall for this person she doesn't know, but she's been hanging out by his grave, and turn him into some kind of, you know, perfect boyfriend from, you know, whatever she stitches together, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not quite what we got. It was just like you said, it just got weirder and weirder and stranger, and I don't think it worked. But like you said, all the actors were in on the bit and committed to what they were doing. I thought Catherine Newton, like, really was, like, trying to chew the scenery in a way that wasn't chewing the scenery, if that makes sense. Like, she was just, like, being weird and odd and giving weird lines at weird times, and so were some of the other characters. And again, they were trying to be quirky and weird and strange, and there are movies that can pull that off, but I'm not sure this one did. And I came out of it, you know, I chuckled a couple times at some of the lines because they were like absurd lines in weird situations to say them.
Yeah.
And you can do that really well and be hilarious. But I think mine were more like, okay, that's crazy. So like, you know, was the reaction to it. Not like it was an earned line. It was more of a, oh, all right.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of that. And then there were a lot of just jokes that were just trying to be, look how much we're in the 80s. I'm going to reference all these 80s things. And that, to me, is lazy. And I put that more on the writer. And I feel like she hasn't, you know, she hit the jackpot with Juno in a couple movies back then, and she has not found her footing since then. And it's just, I don't know. It's a weird movie, and like, and I mentioned it walking out. There was a movie about a decade ago called Warm Bodies, which had a similar concept, but I thought where a zombie is, out to the outside world speaking like a zombie, but we hear his inner thoughts as he tries to talk to this girl, and it was clever and it was fun and it was different at that time, and I thought it was a really clever, you know, movie that was worth seeing. This one, I'm with you. I can't recommend it highly. It's not a must go see it right now. It might be a, hey, that's a weird movie. I like weird kind of quirky kind of movies with weird stuff going on. Yeah, this will be right up your alley, but I won't think there's a mainstream appeal on this kind of movie. And, but it is, it's, I don't regret seeing it, but I don't think it's something I'd ever revisit.
Some of, the main character's outfits were like straight out of other movies, I guess, as a homage. Like,
yeah, so she's clearly one of the tributes.
She definitely had a Heather's outfit on at one point, yeah. And I thought she had a Beetlejuice, both Winona Ryder roles.
Yeah, I was gonna say, definitely Tim Burton-ish, like you said, influences on the design of things, the way things look, the way things move. And then also, but the more modern thing where you put weird songs in different contexts that they're not meant to be in. It was a weird pastiche of a lot of different things going on. And it didn't always work. Mm-hmm. Some people like stuff like that. I didn't.
We got to hear from our residential weird expert.
Word of the day, Mr. Absurd. Matt?
No, I think the word of the day is pastiche. And thank you for using
that,
it.
That is what it is, though.
That's yeah. Amazing. I will not hedge my bets here.
Oh, go for it.
This was a bad movie.
Okay.
I
can't argue that.
this was meandering. It tried to be something and was not. It never hooked me, even from the beginning. Yeah. I'm like, I like a good high school movie, and you know, then we veer off into like weird territory with monsters and people coming back from the dead and stuff. But even the high school movie part of it was just full of unforgettable tropes to me.
Yeah.
You didn't have me at the beginning, you didn't have me in the middle, and you didn't have me at the end. Yeah. So, I think you had me less and less as the movie went on.
I think that happened to all three of us.
And it pains me because I do like absurdity, and yes. I like it when you're going to go over the top, but you've got to land it.
Yeah.
It's got to come home, and it's got to be, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that.
Right.
And the absurdity in this movie were like, oh my gosh, I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Well, it also felt like instead of telling a story, almost like you were saying, Matt, it felt like they were just trying to hit every trope they could. Like, it wasn't about telling the story. It wasn't about having a strong story and telling it. It was like, okay, well, now we're in the high school. What are some 80s high school things we can do? And now we're in a girl's room. Okay, so what are some 80s high school things we can do?
Let's follow the tropes, but be weird.
Right.
And that should solve it, right? Because we're not doing it exactly like normal. Like, okay.
And one thing that I really thought, like, I felt like they couldn't decide what to do with the main character.
Yes.
I felt like at points they wanted her to be like this intellectual, like really smart girl who had some depth.
Yeah.
And at other points they wanted her to be completely vacuous and surface and not have any depth and just care about like very limited things. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really weird choice to make, is to not commit to one of those two things. But, you know, overall, I am sad I went to this movie. It is not a good movie. I don't think it had unrealized potential even. I think it, it It didn't even come close to realizing any potential. Put it that way.
If you told me that concept on paper, I said, I think that could work.
Right.
That's not what happened.
It could be executed in a way that that you could come out of it and say, that was quirky and weird. Yeah. Instead, I come out of it and say, What was that? the tone to me was off the entire movie. It was like it didn't know where it was going or what it was trying to do. The one good thing I can say about it, you know, we got some nice 80s songs. And
Sure. Fine.
That's fine. That's about it for me as far as what this movie had going for it. I do not recommend this movie.
Well, and it's funny to me that, like, not just because of time restraints, but we switched off of a movie tonight.
Yes.
Because of, like, the time restraint of it, but also because some of us, I don't know if you're in this boat, have just been hearing about how bad the movie was and was just very demotivated to see it. Mm. And then here we are with this movie.
So,
if we see the other movie, if we see it at some point and it's better than this movie, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to laugh, then I'll be mad.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting down to what everyone comes here for, how many back massagers would you give this movie? Zero being the worst, because then you have no massages going on your back. Five being the best, because then you have massages on your back, and then maybe other places too. Who knows what's going on?
Yeah, for sure.
Matt.
Well, I'm gonna give this movie 1.1 back massage wand devices, which could be used for almost massaging anything. but it didn't massage its way to making this movie any good. So 1.1 for me, and don't see it.
Fair. Tim?
Yeah, I'm not that far off from you. I'm a little higher because, like I said, I at least give the actors credit for going for it. I'm not saying they had much to work with or didn't know even... Maybe they didn't have the direction to know where they were going. But they didn't... No one held back. And it was like... So I give the actors credit because they were just like, well, we're just going to do this weird movie. Yeah. So for me, that... But that doesn't make it good, like you said. So it's... I'm at 1.4.
I'm not too far from you guys. I landed on a 1.25 is what first popped in my head. And I'm gonna put some blame. On the script and the story. Yep. Like not that great. I'm gonna put some blame on Dear Old Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good directed movie. I thought the actors did fine enough. Some of them did better than the others, but it just wasn't enough to save this movie. Too many things were going wrong with it. You could not salvage it. And I honestly didn't seem like they wanted to salvage it. They didn't even try. Like, it was just like, throw in a new trope, move on to the next scene. Like, so, you know, when you put subpar work into your movie, we're going to give you a review that is going to tear it apart. So you wasted our time. So Zelda, you owe each one of us $5.
Oh,
so
there you go.
I'll take Venmo, or if you want to hand it to me personally, that's what I would prefer, but you know.
I'll take anything. Venmo.
Whatever fits into your busy schedule.
Cash App.
Yeah, Zelle. Yeah. So, reach out to us on Facebook and let us know when that money's coming.
All right. Last thoughts before we end this.
Last thoughts? That's kind of... Goes with the movie.
My question for you two is, are you aware of the little play on words in the title?
Lisa Frank is there.
As far as, do you know who Lisa Frank is?
Yes, the unicorn, like
right.
Designing, like that 80s kids would always...
Yes. So that's where my...
I didn't even put that together.
That's the point one of my rating is you put that into the whole title of the movie. Lisa Frankenstein. Well, anyway.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. You'd know it if you saw it, Doug. It was the design of like notebooks and paper and stuff of the 80s.
Just like a lot of rainbows and unicorns.
Rainbows and unicorns. Very colorful. Okay.
Super colorful. And so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Matt and Todd Go to the Movies, where we are reviewing the movie Lisa Frankenstein. And we gave it an average rating of 1.25 out of 5. That's not very good at all. And but, you know, now we watched it so you don't have to.
Took that bullet for you.
Yes. So before we totally sign off, I just want to make a mention of the fact that this is the 250th movie that we've reviewed on the podcast.
Woo!
And that's a nice big round number, and we're thankful. If you've been with us from the beginning with Joker. Thank you for sticking with us. And if you're a new fan, follower, subscriber, keep doing all those things and downloading, etc. And we will see you next time.
Da-da-da-da.
Da-da.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.